Yeah, the gospel reading today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 45. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "But go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here again, we'll just go back one slide if that's possible. Thanks, Wendy. I'm not sure. Anyway, what we're doing. But where we've been over the last 6 or 7 weeks is looking at various people that Jesus encounters. Yeah, that's fine. That'll be all good. And so we've looked at Zacchaeus, the thief on the cross, the woman caught in adultery that's brought before Jesus, very briefly at the disciples at Pentecost, woman who last week who reached out and touched Jesus' garment, and Matt Whitaker was here at the end of May talking about Destiny Rescue. Next week is our final week in this series where we'll look at Luke chapter 15 and the prodigal son. As I mentioned last week, going to particularly look at the story of Les Miserables and the story of Jean Valjean and Javert. And so just in preparation, feel free to watch that during the week if you have access to Les Miserables. The musical, by all means, even better if you can watch an adaptation of the book, which is not the musical, because the musical doesn't focus on very much on two of the key players in the story, which I've mentioned before, but that's next week as well. It will pick up magnificently this grace reawakened as we look at the story of Jean Valjean and Javert in that story. As does the prodigal son story. And today we look at this account of a man with leprosy. Thanks, Wendy. Hopefully that next one will come up there now. And as I've said for a few times now, that our story is somewhere in here. And these are some of the words that we've looked at and some of the words that as we read each of these accounts of the people that Jesus meets, some of the things, words that connect with them along the way, and fear, isolation, vulnerability, embarrassment, uncertainty, exclusion. And then there's some other words that after their encounter with Jesus and this grace that's awake, and there's the disciples are empowered. Sorry about my spelling there. Hope. They are restored, like Zacchaeus is restored as a son of Abraham. The woman who touches Jesus' cloak, we heard last week, he calls her daughter, one of the rare places that Jesus calls someone daughter. There's an assurance and a peace, and that's part of what we're looking at. So our story is somewhere there. Today, it is looking at the story of the leper. Yeah, thanks, Wendy. Next one. man with leprosy. And leprosy in the Bible, the New Testament, is this umbrella term for a whole range of skin diseases. So that's, in a way, it doesn't make any difference what it was, because the outcome was the same for them, is that they were very ostracized on that. If we recall the movie Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston, the original, not the one, the remake, less so the remake back in 2016, wherever it was. But Ben-Hur, again, what an amazing movie. And because one of the fascinating things with the movie Ben-Hur is these little encounters with Jesus along the way, where Ben-Hur, Jesus is over there. The story is Ben-Hur here, but he has these encounters with Jesus. And it's a crucial encounter towards the end of the movie of Ben-Hur, particularly for his mother and his sister, who are lepers. Ben-Hur, there's this scene that tears your heart apart when you watch it, of where he goes with his friend who is taking food to them, and he accompanies her one time because he hasn't seen his mother or his sister for years and years. And he goes and he hides behind this rock, and they come out with cloaks wrapped around them and everything, and his heart's just breaking, and he wishes he has to be restrained because he wants to go and see them and talk with them, but he's restrained from doing that. And his heart's just breaking because of that. And there's a beautiful scene where when Christ is being crucified, Ben-Hur's friend is with his mother and his sister in a cave. And at the moment of Jesus' death, they are healed of their leprosy. That's in the movie Ben-Hur. And you're going, wow, how extraordinary is that? Interesting. But it certainly portrays this sense that lepers were ostracized. They had to be put out of the community. And indeed, that's what the law of Moses said, that's what needed to happen. And way back, hundreds of times, 1,000 years before this account, it kind of makes sense in a way that this was for good public health reasons in many ways. But one thing led to another, and really there was this complete ostracization. Is that a word? Ostracization? It is now. There we go. And one of the law in Leviticus says that if a leper came by, they had to shout out, unclean, unclean. And let's just pause for a moment and think about that. That as a person who was a leper, that if you went out amongst the community, you had to yell that out. How demeaning is that? How embarrassing? How humiliating? But that's a long, long time ago, isn't it? Leprosy is not much of an issue. But let's think back 6 years ago, middle of 2020. We were doing something pretty similar. COVID, stay away from me. Thanks, Wendy. Just go forward a couple of slides. It's not that far removed from the story. You couldn't go near someone with COVID. Not so much now either, really. This is what, if you were having contact with someone with COVID-19, and for someone who worked in aged care during that whole time, that was their world. And you know full well, I'm not telling you anything new here, of what that meant of visiting your loved one at times and the people around you, that you could not go near anyone. Maybe that's just a little smidgen of being able to relate to this man who comes to Jesus. Unclean, unclean. Stay away. If you are willing, you can make me clean, Jesus says, if you are willing. It's as if the leper says to Jesus, if you want to, you're able to cleanse me. And it's quite a telling statement in many ways that this man, and think about his history, okay, of living with this skin disease and all that that meant for him. Jesus, you can do this, but are you willing to? What's your mind, Jesus? What's your heart towards me, Jesus? Remember, he's coming out of a world where no one wanted to go near him. He knows that Jesus would be able to do that, but is Jesus willing to do it? We'll touch on that a little bit more shortly as well. Now, initially, this passage looks pretty straightforward. Okay, it's a man that comes to Jesus for healing. But we actually see Jesus respond in a different way to this man than, say, what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And it's not quite as straightforward as what it first appears. Over the last couple of weeks, when the woman who's caught in adultery comes to Jesus, he deals very directly with the religious leaders, but with the woman, there's this great tenderness and gentleness. He speaks fairly directly to her, calls her to a new life. But there's this gentleness. Similarly, last week, with this woman with the flow of blood for 12 years, even though it's a very public scene, Jesus speaks very tenderly. We don't get that in this scene with the leper. Jesus speaks very directly, and a lot of commentators, in verse 41, there's a lot of commentators who try to wrestle with this translation. It depends what we say. Sometimes it says that Jesus was moved with compassion, with pity, but the actual word is anger. Jesus was moved with anger, and the commentators wrestle with which one is it, because the manuscripts vary a bit. And it's a bit problematic, because then they kind of wrestle with, well, hang on, why would Jesus be doing that? And then, so it's, and similarly in verse 43, that Jesus sends him away at once with this strong warning, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. And this verse about Jesus sends him away, it's such a strong word. It drives him away. It's the same word that the disciples use. In chapter 14, there's the woman who comes and they tell her off for the extravagance and the waste of money that she shows by pouring this perfume over Jesus' feet. The disciples tell her off. Get out of here. It's the same word. And indeed, it's the same word just a little earlier in the chapter when Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was driven by the Spirit. It's the same word. It's this throwing out, casting out. And you're thinking, well, hang on, what's going on here? Jesus heals the man and then he says, look, get out of here, but go and tell no one, but go to the priest and show him that you are clean. Which is what they had to do. That was the law as well. You had to go, if you were cleansed of leprosy, you had to go to the priest, etc., and see so that you could enter back into the community. Many commentators struggle to land on a satisfying conclusion to what's going on here in the way that Jesus responds to this man. But this is what Jesus does in Mark's Gospel. And remember, we're in chapter 1 here of Mark's Gospel. But Jesus responds in these unexpected ways throughout Mark's Gospel in ways that we think, well, what's going on there? And some suggest that this is not necessarily directed at the leper, but that Jesus directs it to the powers that, as Sarah Heinrich says, the powers that hold creation and its creatures in thrall, so that Jesus is again just annoyed that this is the circumstance of people. Maybe that's what's happening. Whatever is the case, we know that Jesus is willing to heal the man. that Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. And again, if we just pause for a moment and reflect upon that, this man is living isolated. He has probably not had anyone apart from a fellow leper touch him in years. And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him, immediately making Jesus unclean. How extraordinary that Jesus would do this. You see, this is the Jesus of grace who does this, who reaches out his hand. And so whatever the case is going on here, we know that Jesus is willing to heal him, that Jesus reaches out and touches the leper, and that Jesus heals him. And indeed, that all these healings, especially in Mark's Gospel, are signs of what God's reign means for us, that lives are brought back to a place of wholeness, that lives are brought to a place of thriving and fullness of life and flourish. That's what all these healings are about. Whatever the case, we know that Jesus becomes unclean as he touches a leper. Jesus becomes unclean. And actually, by the end of the story, Jesus has shown the cost of what it is for God to be among us, the cost of Jesus' grace toward us, the cost to bring us back to fullness of life, that thriving. You see, by the end of the story, Jesus has traded place with the leper. At the start, the leper is isolated. He's not able to move freely about amongst people. But at the end, he is free to move around amongst people, proclaiming what God has done, which is what Jesus was doing, proclaiming what God has done. But now Jesus is isolated and alone. The verses that Andrew read, because this man couldn't do what Jesus asked him to do, Jesus said, don't tell anyone. And what does he do? He goes blabbing off to anyone he can, such that Jesus could no longer teach or preach or heal in that area. And in fact, Jesus goes off by himself, alone and isolated. Verse 45, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. He's swapped with the leper. And see, this is the point of the story. This points us to that glorious exchange that Jesus is willing to take for humanity itself. He gives up his life of freedom for the isolation, the loneliness, the God-forsakenness of death, not for his sake, but for ours. In verse 41, we hear Jesus say the leper says to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus says, I will. I am willing. You see, we hear those words again on the lips of Jesus in chapter 14. But this time, Jesus is kneeling in a garden of Gethsemane, and wrestling with what is about to happen on this night of his arrest. Not your will, not my will, but your will, O Lord. I will. I am willing to do this. Amidst his anguish, he chooses his Father's will over that of his own. Again, not for his sake, but for ours. This is the grace. This is the grace that God offers us and that is awakened within us. Just to draw things to a little bit of a close here. And hopefully I can find my other sheet. We read these verses in Philippians chapter 2. in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus becomes unclean so that we would be made clean. He comes from that place of who he is by God's, the Father's side, down to us so that we could be brought back to God. I showed those verses, that slide earlier on, about all the different things that were experienced by these people who met Jesus, and that we're in there somewhere. Because sometimes we ask a similar question or make a similar statement to the leper. God, I know that you can do stuff, but will you? Jesus, is it actually in your heart to want good for me? Is it actually in your heart to bring me wholeness? I know you can do that, but what about all that stuff that I've done? Surely that gets in the way. Surely I'm not good enough, that you're not willing. Surely that's taken me outside the bounds of your love and grace and mercy, surely. That's what we'll hear a bit more about next week. Just to finish with a couple of thoughts. Way back in June 1994, Rich Mullins, who was a Christian singer-songwriter out of the States, was doing an interview, and he said this as he was talking. It was a kind of a presentation amongst a whole bunch of people. He said, some of you people are so afraid that someday you're going to cross that line, that you're going to do that one sin that God will never forgive you of. Or you're going to do that one sin that you've been doing so long, but you have this feeling that there's a certain number of times you can get away with it and God will look away. But one time too many and your life is over. Folks, God knew you at your worst before he ever sent Christ to die for you. Christianity is not that Christ came into the world to make good little boys and girls. Christ came into the world to take away those sins that you've allowed to come between you and God. He said, it's sad to me to believe, to look out and see when you're driving down the road and you see people who are afraid, you see people who are angry, and you go, if only you knew how crazy God was about you. If only you knew that God has already loved you. Lauren Daigle is, you might have heard some of Lauren Daigle's songs, extraordinary singer-songwriter, again out of the States, Christian person, has really made some inroads, not only in Christian music circles, but particularly into the secular music industry in the States. Extraordinary voice. A number of years ago, she had this song called You Say, and I want to finish with this morning. You say, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm as strong when I think I am weak. And you say I'm held when I'm feeling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe what you say of me. We pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your goodness, that in you, you welcome us with all that we are, with all that we have. Your arms reach out and your hand reaches out and touches us and we are clean. We are clean. We are renewed by your grace and your mercy. Help us to know that deep within our hearts. Help us to know that as we step out of this door this day, in and through the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.